Good evening. All right, the February meeting, monthly meeting of the Faulkner County Quorum Court is now in session. So we have a distinct honor today. We will be led in the invocation and pledge by Boy Scout Troop 78. So join me in welcoming them.
Ideals. May teach us to be helpful, for through helpfulness we do forget our selfishness. Make us friendly so that so many can who need a friend. Lord, you have entrusted us all as stewards of your creation. Please guide your hearts as we make decisions. We seek you first in all we do. May we can always be mindful of our service. We confess that we are nothing without you and are trusted in you. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you again so much, Boy Scout Troop number 78. Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
I'm here.
Boyer.
Present.
Coates.
Present.
Grady.
Present.
Kendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Shock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
13 present.
Yes, Your Honor.
Approval of the journal. If you look at tab 1.
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Okay, motion second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Madam Secretary, 3 minutes.
Excuse me.
You have the minutes in the packet?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Judge Dodson.
What's your pleasure? Yes.
I don't know how the rules work on this, but In the first paragraph of the journal, it says that Judge James Baker is presiding over the January meeting.
Sure does.
Sure does.
So for the benefit of the audience, we've got a correction suggested for the journal. So
the first and second paragraph in the line. It says that we met in on January 17th with Judge James Baker presiding, which is incorrect.
I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to amend Judge James Baker to Judge Alan Dodson.
So moved.
Would that be motion before in the minutes fully? There's another one in the attendance as well.
Motion to amend for the full journal of proceedings.
Second.
Sorry, guys. I should have run that through the deal.
Okay, motion second to amend to make those clerical errors. Any further discussion on that motion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you for that, Justice Coates. Okay, so moving on to the minutes. I believe you've got a copy of the minutes in your binder. You should have had a chance to review those. What's your pleasure?
Your Honor, I don't have minutes, I don't think.
It's the journal.
The journal log.
Oh, that is the journal. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Difference in wording. Thank you for that. County officers' reports. We'll have several, I think, today. Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Just turn me to tab two. We're at the summary statements for quorum court January 1st, 2023 through January 31st, 2023. County general fund $1,004,450,148.29. County road fund $2,004,077,180. County road sales tax fund $3,579,432.88. Animal welfare and control fund $3,404,481,148.14. Criminal justice sales tax fund $3,407,215,039. Coronavirus relief fund $1,041,467.79. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $23,243,834.43. Page two is going to be your revenue comparisons for County General. There is no data point, because there's only one data point for January. We won't have a line yet until the March when we get the February data. Okay? I just wanted to put that on there so that y'all see kind of how this works out. Page three. Sales tax revenue for January was $1,071,405.40. That's 0.03% better than 2022. And that being said, we are running your data total 0.03% above 2022. Turning to page four, you can see we're at 8% projected sales tax revenue. Projected 2023 projected revenue is $13 million. We're at 8%, right where we need to be. And page five. This is our chart for sales tax revenue. What we do is chart the three-month moving average, which is the blue line, versus the one-year moving average, which is the red line. We have currently the three-month moving average is moved below the one-year moving average, and the one-year moving average is tilted down, which starts being a concern. We're going to watch this very carefully. We have really ran a high rate of increase of our sales tax for the last 3 years. We're expecting that to level off. We just hope it doesn't fall. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. County Clerk, Margaret Darby.
My report is in the book, and I'll entertain any questions.
Any questions for our clerk? All right, moving right along. Sheriff, Sheriff's report.
Judge, thank you very much in court. This is the stats for January 2023. In our Unit 1 facility, which is this facility here at the Sheriff's Office, upstairs of it, we have a capacity of 118 beds, and those are reserved for violent offenders. That's all that we have there. We currently have or at least in January, on average, we have 167 inmates in our Unit 1 facility. Now, Unit 2, those are the ones that are not violent, even though they can be felonies and such. At Unit 2, we have a capacity of 218, complete different design. It's kind of an open barrack staging, and we have, on average, 159 in the month of January. The females, our capacity at our Unit 2 facility is 88, and our average for January is 77. In January, the capacity for our juvenile facility, which is downstairs on the first floor, same floor as my office in Unit 1, we have a capacity of 16, and in January we had exactly 16 on average. We took in over 487 inmates, and we released 433 in the month of January. The average ADC inmates that we housed is 48, which is really below average of what we normally would have. Total numbers of calls to our, going to patrol now, the total number of calls to our dispatch was 2,532 calls in January. Total numbers of calls to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, 1,928. Number of violent crimes and domestics were 64 for the month of January. Number of thefts and criminal mischief was 74. Animal calls we responded to or answered 79 animal calls. Animal violations, we have 71 violations that was wrote. Animal warnings was 3 for the month of January. Criminal Investigation Division, we were assigned 64 cases. We closed 27 cases, and we opened 37. In our transport, the total trips was 97. The total miles that we drove was 6,033 for a total cost of $4,811. And that's the end of my report.
Any questions for the sheriff? Justice Coates?
Sheriff Rawls, you said that in Unit 1 and in Unit 2, the inmates that are in there both have felonies can go into either facility. How is it determined and determines which facility they go into?
Well, it's based on their history, and that history can stem back for quite some time. If they've been in before and they have violent tendencies, then classification. Yeah, we do classifications on them, and that determines where they fall in that classification of whether or not they stay at Unit 2 or they come over to the maximum security unit, Unit 1. Less violent, Unit 2, or no violent tendencies. But the more violent they are, they come to Unit 1. And they can be felonies at both places, but a burglary or a theft is not necessarily classified as a violent offense, like murder, rape, assaults, those things. It's typically what we would have at Unit 1.
Sheriff, if I may, with the numbers at 167 on average for January and a capacity of 118, are we in danger of being on a state watch list or for overpopulation? Or I know there was a few years ago where they told us we had to make some adjustments.
And to my knowledge and the way I see things, that still holds. We're still under that. What they wanted to do is wanted to see from us is to know that we are moving in a direction to be able to handle some of this overflow or address the issue of overcrowdedness that we have. And we have been doing that for about 6 years. It's time. It's truly time that we do something before they really could be a lot more aggressive in their actions toward us, but they've been very considerate not to have so far.
One more question. Are there any plans for the Criminal Justice Advisory Committee to meet in the coming months or to bring to the court a recommendation for what might be needed to address the overcrowding issues?
You know, I think that is definitely going to be happening with the Criminal Justice Committee. I think Randy Higgins will have a lot of factors and a lot of input, and he'll be on that committee still, and certain ones that's here in this room tonight. So, yes, we'll bring that committee together, but we have a little bit of stair steps that need to take place before we actually pull the committee together to have a meeting so we can get kind of our ducks in a row so we know what we're talking about going into it. It's been quite a while since we've had a committee meeting.
Sheriff, thank you so much for coming down to this report. I have one question for you. I see you have 167 in January, and your capacity is 118, and maybe I missed something. Maybe you said it in a way, but where does the 49 go, if I'm reading that number correct?
Well, yeah, that's right. We have a capacity of 118. 167 is what we have in these cells, but what we have is sleds that we can pull out. They sleep on the floors, on the sleds. We don't make them sleep on concrete, but we pull these manufactured plastic sleds designed for this overflow problem that you have. And that's where they sleep during the nighttime. And, but still extremely crowded. We got them sleeping in day rooms instead of the extremely confined areas where the bunks actually are. We put the sleds out into the day rooms, and that's where most of them are placed when we have an overflow.
Thank you.
Sheriff, I do have one more question.
Yes, sir.
with Unit 2 being down in capacity just a little bit and not at our maximum, is there any area in Unit 2 that can be kind of overflow for Unit 1? And I know we toured it, and I didn't see anything like that, but is that, could that be a possibility?
Well, what we can't do is mix the violent offenders with the nonviolent offenders. And the way that the Unit 2 is designed more of a work release center. That's what it was actually designed for to begin with. And so we have four areas over there that are that will hold about 60 in each area, if that's a max. And there's no isolation over there. The restrooms are open. They're open to each other, but they're independent of one another. But they are open. There's no way to close them because of the restrooms. They have to have access to restrooms and water without hindrance. And so to bring a violent offenders that would be over here and put them over there would be disastrous for us. And that's been proven. Yeah. And that's why we do the classifications.
Thank you.
If that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Sheriff Rawls, if I could. Of the 79 animal calls, I was wondering how many of those calls would involve a personal injury or a injury or a death to another animal?
You know, without having these individual calls in front of me, I wouldn't know that because I don't pull them out. I don't have a classification before me. So, but that's something we can. I mean, we have reports on every call. Mm-hmm. So I could find, you know, the information is there, just don't have it here.
I was just curious. I've had several of my constituents tell me that they have had animals that have been killed by dogs running in packs and things like that. I assume that some of these animal violations might have been the result of that. Do you feel like that the animal violations that you are writing are having any impact on reducing those kind of attacks?
Well, you know, if these packs are wild dogs, no, it's not. But if the dogs that are running in these packs belong to individuals, and we can prove that, then those individuals are getting citations for letting their dogs roam. And that's where the violations come in at. So is there an impact? Well, eventually there will, because it gets deeper in that person that owns the dogs, who is that, who is the violator, which is where the citations are wrote to. And I think the impact of that gets deeper every time a violation happens. So, you know, I don't know if 100% understand what you're asking, but all of these animal citations that was wrote here was wrote to an individual that we could prove owned the dog. Mm-hmm. So if the dogs are running in packs and attacking animals, if we can prove that that was those dogs. And obviously, I mean, I'm sure there are some that are happening in, that's in these numbers here. I would hope it is. You know, that people speed, get tickets, they still speed.
Do you have any suggestions of what we in the county, as a public safety officer, do you have any idea what we could do about the animals that are running in packs and attacking animals for the homeowners and the farmers in our communities?
You know, I don't know what these dogs are, who they are, but I have seen and heard, and I've responded myself on calls where the dogs are running in groups like that. You know, I don't know what the answer to that is, but what I can tell you legally is that every person has a right to protect himself and his livestock. Mm-hmm.
That's the common response, I think, that the people that have talked to me have told me they've gotten from the deputies. So,
well, then that's lawfully so. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Any further questions for the sheriff?
This is not unique for Butler County, this is in every county throughout the state of Arkansas, have issues with overcrowdedness in every one of them. And you're right, it does go up to the state level, and our EDC inmates, our prisons, I can tell you, typically typically we hold around 50 to 60 ADC inmates and before we can get them shipped to ADC. So hopefully on a state level, maybe they're attempting to resolve some of those issues. And if we can see that happen, then we'll see a little bit of relief, here at a local level, because we are actually holding state inmates in our jails right now. Essentially, those 60 beds are turned into prison space, ADC space. And we don't need that.
And the state is wanting, with our new governor and others, to build a large new facility. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Sheriff, if I could, just to kind of piggyback on what you were talking about, the classification. So it's always a bit easier for me to understand. For example, let's say you have Jerry Boyer here, who's 45 years old and a convicted murderer. You have Jake Moss here, who's 40 years old and a convicted murderer. We'll just say murderer. And then you have 18-year-old Chris Kendrick, who was in the county jail for failing to appear on a speeding ticket. Jake's convicted murder, but he's done all of his time for that. But he's in jail for failing to appear on a speeding ticket, and the same with Jerry. And as we know, dealing with a lot of the criminals nowadays, and have for a long time, these two guys who are seasoned, hardened criminals who spent time in prison, they may very well take advantage of Mr. Kendrick, who's brand new. So it's just better for me to understand with the visual. And that's the whole reason for classification, because sometimes people do mean and evil things.
That's right. That's the classification and the separation between Unit 1 and Unit 2.
I have a quick question. Is the classification policy process, is that written down somewhere? Who administrates that, and can this court have access to review it?
It is. It's actually a state product. And our jail administrators, our captains and lieutenants, we have a board that sits down and classifies them, of several lieutenants or administrative officers who sit down and classify them. And yes, I can get you a copy of that classification.
Okay, I'll reach out to you with follow-up to do that. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
But a lot of the information you're going to want to see you can't have access to it because of ACIC and NCIC.
I'd like to point out too, Sheriff, that even if the ADC took all their inmates that we're housing right now, we'd still be at capacity in Unit 1.
Absolutely.
And that there have been months, not very long ago, that we would have been exceeding that capacity, even if the state took all their inmates out of our jail.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you so much, Sheriff.
Judge, Court, thank you.
Thank you. I believe our tax collector, Sherry Coombs, has an officer report that she's going to give.
Yes. The form court last year, I explained to them whenever I was asking for an additional full-time employee that I was going to be implementing the state garnishment. We actually did that in December of last year. We mailed out 32,000 letters through Artrex, which does the state income tax garnishment. It does show that it is paying off. Our delinquent collections for January were $831,477. That's quite a bit of an increase from years past. We're continually searching addresses on our return summons letters, and we also got our first deposit for the income tax garnishment in January, and as people file their income tax, we should see an increase in that as well. Any questions? That was passed through legislation several years ago, and this is the first year that we've done that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have ARP report, and I would ask our ARP administrator, Tom Anderson, to come up and brief our court, and then follow that. I believe you have a road report as well. Just run right into that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the court, I prepared a report that I'd like to present every month from here on to the end of the ARP era. And it has several pages. The opening page is a map of all the projects that have appropriated money from ARP. The blue are the nonprofits, the red are the infrastructure. If you'll flip the page, in the next seven pages, we created for each project the amount that was appropriated, the expenses to date, and the remaining expenses. And we created a bar graph to the side to show you what percentage of completion as it relates to the money that was appropriated that each project is at. The first few are the governmental ARP projects that were approved. And then on page 3, we get into infrastructure projects. On page 6, you get to the nonprofits. And if you remember, the United Way was working with a coalition to help the homeless. We approved that last year. That is 100% complete. There were 317 nights that were used for people to stay in hotels for that $20,000 that was appropriated. So that's our first project outside of Palmer County government. All the nonprofits that are 100% complete. The final page on the ARP report is a data sheet of all of the appropriations that were made by this court so far and what the ordinance number was, broken out by the governmental at the top, water, sewer, nonprofits, and then my position at the bottom. You'll notice in the bottom right corner, we have about $2,225,811 of the restricted money that hasn't been appropriated yet. Are there any questions on the ARP report that I presented?
Judge?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just have a question on some of these nonprofits.
Sure.
I remember attending some of the meetings back in October, November. They seemed to be very rushed that had the need to be appropriated. Have they been appropriated to them, or is it something where they have to have expenses first?
No, the money was appropriated. Once the money is appropriated, and we intentionally used the coalition as a test case for the nonprofits, we waited until we got that contract signed and they were underway before we started approaching the other nonprofits to get their contract signed. So once their contract is signed, that means, and we sit down with them and tell them what's allowable, what's not, what kind of record keeping we expect from them. Once we have that contract signed and that conference with them, then they're free to start spending their money.
Just my one more question?
Sure.
So that'll be the same issue with the infrastructure projects as well, just waiting for contracts to be finalized for the expenses?
Generally speaking, that's correct.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Judge, could I have a floor?
Yes.
First, Mr. Anderson, I want to thank you for this. This is more detailed than we've seen in the last 2 years that I've been on the court. And this gives us a level of clarity that for the funds that are available and what's been spent and what's been done with it. I want to thank you and the judge's office for all you've done to make this a whole lot easier for us to read.
Thank you.
One question, Your Honor.
Yes.
I'm sorry if I missed it, but is there a maybe a total pot and amount spent of that total pot chart in here anywhere?
No, we just did the appropriated. We didn't total the amount spent.
Okay.
You can if you'd like
that. That might be helpful to
sure.
see as well. Thank you.
Thank you for the suggestion. Any further questions for Mr. Anderson on the ARP report? Might take you a bit or this first viewing before you become familiar with that and the layout. But as you see, if you have suggestions, just let Mr. Anderson know or anyone in my office will make sure to effort those. So, great suggestion. Mr. Anderson, the road report, please.
Yes, sir. The next page is the road report. We've showed you the mileage and the roads that we've completed and overlaid this year in 23. As Justice Knight said earlier, it's cold and we don't get them done very fast this time of year. We get them when we about 6 miles done so far this year. On the bridge report, also as mentioned earlier, Roden Mill is almost complete. There's some asphalting left to do. We're expecting to have that done by the 6th of March. Saltillo Road, south of 8 Mile Store, we're going to work on a bridge there. That's ready to go to bids to start in March. We'll complete that in June of this year. Middle Road is a partnership with Conway. We're 35% complete with that project. It's a completion date in April of this year. And then finally, we're working on some intersections of note. Highway 286 at Skunk Hollow, if you remember, that's a stoplight project. The plans are awaiting RDOT approval. Once that's started, we can bid it out and have it completed, hopefully by fall of this year. And then the Wooster Roundabout, that's in the conceptual design right now. There's no date for an estimated completion on that, but they're working the plans with the highway department right now. Subject to questions, that concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Any questions?
Judge. I'd just like to say thank you to your office and Mr. Anderson for preparing these reports. I definitely think it's helpful for us as the JPs and the public to see how the money's being spent. We're spending a lot of it on ARP and on roads, so thank you for all the work. It definitely helps.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justice Kendrick. Justice Lahosky.
Thanks, sir. Judge, this might be a question for you. You know, the Middle Road project, they shut that road down so that the bridge could be done quicker. Do you know if that's going to be the same for the Saltillo Road project? You might not know the answer to that right now.
Mr. Ledbetter, the particulars of the construction?
Yes, we're planning to leave it open during the entire process. We're going to build half and half.
That's a pretty steady stream of traffic over there.
Travels.
Yes, thank you.
And we have, you know, it takes patience. Thank you for that question, but we sort of, you know, and that's something we're looking forward to. You've heard the positive comments from the justices here. And we developed this report. We think it will be useful. You know, we'll probably have to explain some of it. I think probably most of the people affiliated with the county understand that in the wintertime you can't lay asphalt. But some people may not know that. You know, I mean, they physically do not make asphalt when it's cold. And so we welcome your feedback on this report. We may adjust it going forward. We're awfully proud. I am awfully proud of our road department. I'll make an announcement a little bit later. I hope you have seen the slideshow, sort of the walk-up music, the video version of that. And we'll use that monitor to highlight county employees probably every meeting from here on out. We like that idea. We're proud. We're proud of our road department, right? Let's give them a round of applause for that ice cream. Those of you who know me, I'm just going to skip ahead to this announcement. I just wanted to recognize them, number one, for their willingness and their eagerness. But those of you who know me realize I tend to be really optimistic and set pretty high expectations. And that, you know, that's probably a soft way of saying they really had high expectations. That they never hesitated. They worked around the clock. We had 12-hour shifts, and you saw quite a few pictures. We got a lot of feedback on social media. That's something we were aware of in the past. Really born out of, you know, just seeing people out on the roads. Probably didn't need to be out on the roads in a nice storm several years ago, and just spur of the moment thing. I put some pictures out there showing black ice, saying you really don't need to be out on this unless you absolutely have to. And based on that overwhelming positive feedback we got on that, we just continued on with that. And that's what we did with this ice storm. And we continued to get a whole lot of feedback. We'll probably refine that as fairly primitive the way we roll that out. But it was useful. And if it could save one life by convincing somebody to stay home or overcome the urge to get out and see what the roads look like, then we feel like that's well worth the effort. And our road department took it to heart. The way I explained it to them is we are out here to save lives. And I said, our first order is to do this safely. I think I'm as proud of the fact that they did it with zero safety incidents on the ice. We had 1,000 miles of county roads. We had nonstop. We had two road graders or motor patrols and two snow plows. And each of those has a crew associated with them. They run out through the county. We have several associates. As a matter of fact, county administrator Randy Higgins was out there with us as well. Appreciate him. He should be recognized for that. But the crews, the support crews, it's not just the folks who we do value driving the equipment, all sorts of support crews. I tell you, how long does a blade last when you're floating pavement on trying to get rid of ice? A
couple hours.
At the most. So changing those things doesn't just happen with a snap of the finger. And anyway, I just appreciate your effort and want to recognize Mark Ledbetter, our road foreman, and his entire organization. So thank you for that. And to the other elected officials in the room, we look forward to highlighting your staffs and your personnel. So just get in touch with, go ahead and call Randy Higgins with that beginning tomorrow if you have stuff that you'd like to show for the next monthly meeting. So anyway, thank you for indulging me with that. Any further questions for Mr. Anderson? Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, moving right along, there's one more tab in the report section, and as you probably know, but for the benefit of the new quorum court members, anytime the county disposes of junk items as defined in the law, we are required to put that in the record, and we do that by including that in your binder. And so that tab that says property disposal, you'll probably have that most months. We generally won't read and review all of those things, but if you have any questions, I'll give you an opportunity for that. Here we have two totaled patrol vehicles and some old generators that were no longer of any value. And so if you have any questions, feel free to ask them this time. So moving right along to standing committee reports, tab number 3, I believe it is.
There's no tab.
Mr. Lahosky?
There's no tab.
Ah, okay. Well, moving right along, standing committee reports.
Judge, the Budget and Finance Committee has 4 ordinances for consideration tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Lahosky. Courts and Public Safety.
Thank you, Judge. We were able to meet on February the 14th of 2023. All members were present. Justice Schock declined Judge Dotson's recommendation and appointment as chairperson. The committee nominated and unanimously voted for myself, Justice Coates, as replacement chairperson. The committee did vote to move Resolution 2302, which is the OEM mutual aid agreement, onto the full court for consideration.
Thank you so much, Justice Coates. Infrastructure, Justice Knight.
Thanks, Your Honor. Yes, we met tonight for our first organizational meeting. We discussed the 2022 road report and all the bridges that were completed last year. We also heard from Justice Strain regarding a water extension project off of Military Road and made a recommendation that an application be made and bring that before us in the coming months.
Justice Knight. Justice Kendrick, personnel.
Thank you, Judge. We held our organizational meeting last week. We reviewed some helpful resources. We also received an overview of executive sessions from our county attorney, and we didn't have any ordinances for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, first time through with these committee reports, I'd like to extend my personal thanks to all of those serving on committees and several serving on more than one committee. And I want to especially thank those who are chair folks, because it is a huge lift, and I don't think it's always obvious to people in the audience and certainly people out throughout the county, and really just appreciate that. I'm sad to see Justice Schock not step up, but I, at the same time, I know Justice Coates will do a wonderful job, and I certainly understand Justice Schock, so thank you so much. And with that, let's move right along. This is where we accept public comments. Any public comments, members of the audience, on any item of business before the court tonight? Give that opportunity every minute. Seeing none, we move along to special reports. And I know that we have at least one. Our county extension agent, is she here? Agent Gross, if you would step forward to the microphone, please, and we'd be glad to hear what you have to share with us.
They are each put together.
by myself and the other three agents in our office. I like to come just once a quarter and give an update and see kind of tell y'all what's going on in our office. So myself, I'm the Family Consumer Science agent. So upcoming this month, I've got four different canning classes. I've got food safety trainings coming up. So March is a big food month. So if you know anybody in those professions or doing stuff like that, we offer those trainings to the community as well as child care providers, continuing education hour training. So we're doing that as well in March. Krista is our horticulture agent. She is the one that handles the master gardeners, if y'all are familiar with them. She actually just pulled a 12-hour day at the office yesterday. They were having a big meeting over there. So she put on her report that last year she gave you that total since we finished out 2022. That their combined volunteer hours is at a set value of about $440,000 for last year. They provide immense amount of work for our county, across the county, and appreciate them very, very much, and it's completely volunteer-based. Zach Gardner, his report, just a couple of highlights. He just had a big meeting this past Friday with Hay and Cattle College that he offers to the community as well, and that had glowing reviews and evaluations. He did a great job. And Tammy, our 4-H agent, she is actually having the 4-H banquet right now across town at the Cowboy Church. I know Judge wanted to attend. I wanted to attend. It had to get rescheduled because of that weather you're seeing on the screen. So she's having that tonight, and she is still working with, it says 460 youth club enrollment. That's well over 500. The reason we don't have that exact number is because our state is in between softwares right now, and we can't pull that exact number. If you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer them. But we just like to come and let you have an update and ask any questions.
Any questions for Agent Gross?
Are we seeing numbers rise above pre-COVID levels at this point?
Yeah, it's for 4-H. Master Gardeners too, for that matter, but for 4-H, it took a minute, like a lot of things, to kind of get people back in the groove. But, yeah, they are ahead of pre-COVID numbers now. We've got a lot of people coming out for programs, and Cammie's working closely with our teenage group that we call Teen Leaders so that they help plan the programming that they see the most need for youth, because who knows what's going around in the youth community better than the youth themselves, and so this helps give our teenagers the ability to accept leadership responsibility and planning those things. I think that's helping a lot. Yeah.
Any further questions? All right, I would like to just a bit of commentary. I would ask, I hope you have more copies in case anyone in the audience wants copies of these, but to our justices, I would take these home and read them. I would ask that of you, and I want your eyes to be open to the extent that you're not already aware of all those programs. Their facility is on the corner of this courthouse campus. It's the old church. I believe it's the old Nazarene Church, if I'm not mistaken.
Presbyterian.
And there are, it seems like 7 days a week. When I drive by there is something going on, and it's a privilege for me to be invited. They let me know of the things going on, and so I will swing through there, and it is amazing. I don't know. I could not do half what the children's program. I'm thinking about this weekend in particular. There was a speaking contest, public speaking, and to see children that age stand up there, and they would be right here in front of you. They're unintimidated at all. I don't know about you, but at that age, you'd have caught me running the other way. So, so many agriculture programs. This is to many people in our county, these are very visible programs, but to many people, they are not very visible. And I want to personally invite you to help spread the word for all of our wonderful programs. So, if you are interested, please come by my office or ask Marianne about getting a copy of these so you can become familiar with that. But you're really a shining star. I could not be more proud of how our county program works in relation to others around the state. It's great in general, but I know we're well represented. I want to thank you for your efforts. It's so professional. Everything is just well run, and it's a point of pride.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I meant every word of that I said. I would invite you to go by some of those programs and just call them and ask them what they've got coming up and just walk in. You'll be welcome to roll out the red carpet and see those children's eyes light up when they see you walk in, that you're here to watch them, or when you call Zach or Kristen or any of those folks. Really impressive programs. Thank you again. Moving right along, old business. Not on our agenda, and seeing none, we'll move to new business with a stretch of four ordinances and a resolution. So, proposed ordinance 23-04, who is sponsoring this one?
Judge, I motion for the passage of ordinance 23-04.
That would be tab 3, right? Finally made it to tab 3. All right.
Would you second it?
We have a motion. We have a second?
Second.
All right, Counselor.
Ordinance 23-04, sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 21-45, dated December 16, 2021, and to declare an emergency.
Thank you for that reading. Any discussion? We've got motion, second, and reading. Any discussion? Justice Lahosky, you want to give a brief explanation of this?
From my understanding from our county clerk, this is a cleanup from last year's budget, taking care of what we call period 13. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any questions? Fairly routine. All right, Madam Secretariat, this is appropriation ordinance. We'll have to be roll call vote. It's a single reading because it's an appropriation, and those are just points of order for those who don't understand county government.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Ordinance passes. Moving along, tab 4.
Judge, is that a point of order?
Yes, sir.
The date on these ordinances are February 22nd, do they need to be February
That's
21st?
The date we'll be signing them.
That's the date you sign. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for
great question. No, that's a great question. All right, tab number 4, 23-05.
Judge, I motion for the passage of ordinance 23-05.
Second.
Second.
All right, Justice Coates, get in on the wire. Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 23-05, sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20th, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Justice Lahosky.
Thank you, Judge. Let's see, I'm just going to overview the big numbers, and you can get ask our department heads for further questions. I believe our 911 PSAP $60,000 expenditure is for our 911 upgrade of Section 3, $320,000. That's money left over, basically, that the sheriff didn't spend on an appropriation last year. They're just asking for the remainder to be reappropriated. And then Section 5, the $100,000, is basically a pass-through grant. We receive grant monies. We have to receipt them in, and then before they exit and go to whatever they need to be.
Thank you for the explanation. Any questions? Madam Secretary?
Judge, is that $320,000 from the CARES Act? Is that shown in Treasurer's Coronavirus Relief Fund? Was that if it was already appropriated? Is the $1 million balance in there now? Is that accounted for in the with $320,000, or will that drop that to $700,000?
I believe the fund that Scott showed is the money that's there, so that's not necessarily an appropriation. That would be the money spent. So if $320,000 had been appropriated last year but not spent, then that money would show still in that fund balance. Is that correct, Scott?
That is correct. If you'll look with me on summary of statement for Quorum Court on the tab 2, the bottom section on that is actually Margaret's section, and we worked together to put that together. She approves it, but just to give you a little bit of kind of where we're sitting on that. If you're looking at the bottom section, Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, there's currently no budget There's no appropriation for 2023 in that. This ordinance right here really will make a budget for that. We'll have an ordinance. We'll have an appropriation for it.
Okay.
And kind of how that works, I believe, and the sheriff's office can correct me where I'm wrong, they had an appropriation last year to do some sort of work, and I don't know what that was, but they didn't spend the money, so they're trying to get the appropriation just rolled over until 2023, what they didn't spend of it. Okay? Thank you, Claire.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Fund accounting can be very confusing, and so thank you for that explanation to our treasurer, Scott Sanson. And money has to be appropriated, but then money that's actually spent, Scott's actually got two sets of books, you know, the actuals and then what's appropriated for working off up throughout the year. And then as you saw with the previous appropriation, we have work that's done last year that for which bills had not yet come in. So we have period 13, just as Lahosky explained, you know, about period 13. So we're in the 13th month, and that's what the previous ordinance was about. And so I know it can be confusing if you're not familiar with public finance on the county level, but that's a brief explanation. Any further questions? Roll call, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Ordinance passes. Tab number 5, Ordinance 23-06.
Motion for the passage of Ordinance 23-06.
Second.
Second. We have a reading, please.
Proposed Ordinance number 23-06, sponsored by the Budget Finance Committee, an appropriation for law enforcement officer salary stipends for full-time law enforcement officers in accordance with Act 224 of the 2022 fiscal session of Arkansas Legislature, and to amend the annual operating budget for Fauquier County, Arkansas for calendar year 2023.
Thank you for that. A brief explanation, Justice Plosky, and I know that the sheriff's here if you don't understand quite the imagination.
Thank you, Judge. As y'all can see here in the whereases, this $15,000 comes from the state. The county, I believe, is on the hook for the Social Security, or excuse me, $16,000 comes from the state. We're on the hook for the $2,200 for retirement matching. But this is a state funded $5,000 per deputy that we like to take advantage of.
And that money has been received.
Thank you so much. Any questions on that? Secretariat, roll call vote.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Ordinance passes. Tab number 6, proposed Ordinance 23-07. Justice Strain, I believe you're sponsoring.
Yes, sir. This is one that we discussed last week in the budget finance for the Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility. Their plant has failed or is in the process of failing, is not functioning, and they want to turn that wastewater treatment over to Conway Corp. And I think we have representatives here from Conway Corporation.
Justice Strain, I think before we get to discussion, you wanted to make a motion to approve this.
Yeah, okay. I would like to make a motion that we bring 2307 to the floor for discussion.
In a second.
Second.
Counselor?
Justice Strain, would you like for me to read the entire ordinance or title only?
Title only.
Ordinance number 23-07, sponsored by Justice Strain, being acted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas. An ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 23-63, dated December 20th, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Thank you for that reading. And as Justice Strain mentioned, and you may have heard me mention, Conway Corp CEO Brett Carroll and Chief Operating Officer Greg Dell are here tonight, so we thank you for your attendance. It's an honor for you guys to be here among us, to be available for questions, and just to stream with that, I'll toss it to you.
We heard from Jason Funkhauser, who was on the Wastewater Utility Committee, and last week, and the request was for people from Conway Corporation to come and address that project. So I'd like to ask either or both of you to come and address the court for this project.
Thank you so much, and there's a microphone to your right.
I'm Greg Dell, Chief Operating Officer at Conway Corporation. I believe also from the Lake Conway Wastewater Utility, Steve Kirk is here, and he is prepared to answer any questions about the existing system and what's there. Conway Corporation is here to answer any questions about the proposed, I guess, what would happen.
Just a stream. Are any questions from anyone else?
I'll raise my hand, Judge. So from Conway Corp, basically the biggest question we had in our budget and finance committee was, is Conway Corp good with this? So I'll ask you that question.
yes, sir. Any Conway Corp serving wastewater customers outside the city limits would take board approval and city council approval. Okay. So we have talked to our board, and our board is generally agreeable. There's still some work to be done on the rates, and that's dependent on how much of this project gets granted to them. And then we have also talked to the mayor, and the mayor is generally agreeable. Our reasoning on that is, you know, it's public health and safety. This wastewater system, which has been a good system, they got a new permit, and it's plant's not designed to meet the permit, and that illicit discharge eventually makes it to Lake Conway, and so it is just outside the city limits, and you know, Lake Conway is an asset for all of Arkansas and beyond, really, and so anything that we can do to help fix that. This is, it looks like the cheapest option for those people and probably the best long-term option to have a plant. The Tupelo Bayou plant, which has the capability to meet the permits that are required.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for describing that process and everything.
Justice Coates?
Yes, sir. I know you said that you didn't know exactly what the increased cost per resident would be until we decide exactly how much money is going to be appropriated or whatever. But with the $800,000 mark from us and then the state matching that, can you give us a ballpark figure?
I'd love to. I do think that, you know, they did some rate study. ANRD, Arkansas Natural Resource Department, did a rate study for them when they were looking at borrowing the money, and their rates were going to be double, I think, a little more than double, about 1.5 times our in-city rates, somewhere in that neighborhood. Depending on how much grant money they get, like I said, the ANRD's already given $800,000 to the project. They're asking for $800,000 here. That debt component won't be there, I believe it would be less than that. So probably not less than the Conway in-city rates, so it's somewhere between 1.5 times our rate and the in-city rate, which would be a significant rate increase for those people right now. We just can't subsidize their rates within city rates, but it will be a cost-based rate, and this is the best option for them. Otherwise, they've got to rebuild a treatment plant again in 5 years, a new permit. They might not make that. The new plant might not meet the new permit in 5 years, and we're back to the same thing. So there's about 400 residents out there right now. They are under a consent administrative order to get it fixed, and we've worked with them and to come up with the best solution.
Thank you.
Justice Lyon?
Yes, so will there have to be any infrastructure upgrades Conway Corp would have to do, or is it just they can bring their lines up and meet existing?
They are a pressure sewer system, a step system out there, so... And that all gets pumped from each individual owner, it gets pumped to a central treatment plant, and that treatment plant would just go away, and a pump station would sit in its place, and then their effluent outlet pump station would get pumped up over the hill into our system, and no further upgrades. need to take place. We have 16 million gallons a day of capacity at the Tupelo Bayou plant and way less than that in actual flows.
Justice Boyer. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Greg. I'm concerned that we're getting too many carts before the horses here. At the committee meeting the other day, this discussion was that the Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility would go out of business when we do this. Is that correct? Is there a representative here that...
That is true. The money that they got from ARD, the $800,000 that they've already received, is contingent on regionalization. So they have to go away to get that money.
So that they have to dissolve before we even appropriate the funds, is that...
No, I don't think so. They have to agree to dissolve if you appropriate the funds. They can't dissolve until they don't have a treatment plan anymore.
Council,
the pump station would take...
Yeah, I don't think there's a need to legally dissolve the group before funding takes place. We can fund this, and in fact, even the appropriation in and of itself is just the first step in funding that. It would still need to go through the ARP administrator to make sure everything complies with the federal regulations, and then we'd need to slowly see the budget and the purchase orders to come through and make sure all that matches. So it would be a long process. Once all that's complete, then perhaps there can be a dissolution discussion.
So I guess my question was leading up to the part of the title. It says if this is an emergency, if we declare this to be an emergency tonight without going to three readings, when is the check issued for $800,000?
Justice Boyer, I think, first of all, rarely would the judge's office or the county ever issue just a straight check to any ARP recipient. It's a process that they would need to show the expense. As far as timeliness goes, I think the judge's office is prepared to move quickly on it, and it could be done within 30 days. However, in this particular instance, I think the emergency stems from what the state is requirement is on funding. And maybe Mr. Kurt can speak to that, but my understanding is that this agency has to show the matching funds within a very specific time period, and that's the cause for the emergency.
And what would that time period be?
I think the monies from ARC has to be used by, I think it's April 30th, or it goes away.
April,
so that $800,000 we've gotten from them, if we don't have matching funds and a project to put together, then those funds would go away.
That's May 31st is the first deadline, and they have to have those
of
funds.
This year?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And then they have to be spent by the end of 26, okay. 2026. So we have a little bit of time to get it done. The engineering is at a state where we still have work to do there. There's easements to be had. This is a solution. With funding, it could be the solution. Without this funding, then they've got to go back and look for other options.
And I'm in favor of helping. That's not the road I'm going, not to help. Just make sure that when we do help, that we have the right people that's being helped at the right time.
The way these funds are distributed is that ARD will require for their half, will require a contract be written by the end of this year, right? So they'll have to be a signed contract by the end of this year. And then each month, we would do whatever work got done, we would send in invoices to the county and to the state,
right,
and get those funds repaid for the work that got done that month. And that all has to be completed before the end of 26 before,
right,
to use those funds.
So, Mr. Dell, you're reasonably confident that the Conway Court Board and the City of Conway Council is going to approve this transaction that we're about to close on?
I wouldn't guess what the City Council is going to do. The mayor is in support of it. The council, I believe they know that Lake Conway is an asset for all of us, and I don't think that there's a reason for them not to do it. We have done something like this in the past for Woodlands Edge subdivision. When there was, They didn't want a new package system that was going to have these same problems with it there. And so they, you know, everybody agreed, and we now take their sewer. So, yes, we talked to our board. We had a board meeting today, and we told them about this meeting and this decision that you need to make, and ask them again, and they are agreeable to this. There are still some details to be worked out, and those details just can't be worked out until this takes place. If, for whatever happens and it falls through, then we would not, obviously, not have your funding. It would be contingent on this project as it is. So, okay.
Thank you, sir. Any further questions? Justice Coates.
I don't actually know if it's the Conway Corp side of things or Mr. Murphy can answer my questions. But we were going through committee meetings. We were discussing that there was a $300,000 outstanding loan on the existing treatment plant. It's my understanding that ARP funds cannot pay off that loan. Is that correct?
I don't feel comfortable making that distinction or making a determination at this point. I just haven't done enough research. I can tell you that I would rather not. I mean, it's safer not to pay off the loan. However, I don't feel like I can make a legal determination at this point in time.
That is our understanding. None of those ARPA funds could be used for loan repayment. Right. Those customers will bring that debt with them. That'll be part of their rate. They're already paying that right now. If this project gets funded, they just won't have a whole bunch of new debt that goes with it. So their rates right now are carrying that debt, and they'll continue to, well, we'll carry that debt, but it'll be associated to those customers.
So if we reduce the debt from the $800,000, that would put us at $500,000.
No, the project is $1.6 million.
Correct, but the county side of it.
There's $800,000 for the county, $800,000 for the state. There's another $300,000 in debt out there that they will carry with them. This and their monthly payments for sewer will continue to pay that. The new project debt is what we're talking about right here. So none of these funds would go back and
pay any of that. Okay, I was confused. I thought that $300,000 was included in that $800,000.
No, the project cost is estimated to be $1.6 million for the capital cost of the budget.
And to that point, just a coach, I would say with any ARP project, any appropriation that this court does approve does not mean that that money is automatically spent. That goes through our vetting process, and so I would just tell you, I think you can rest assured that no matter what you appropriate tonight, we'll make sure to look at it, make sure that everything's done to put Faulkner County in a position that is fiscally responsible and conservative as well.
Great question.
Quick question. Timeline for construction once approved, you know how long this would take?
Easements are going to be the wild card there. The construction of the pump station and getting pumps in at this time, it's likely a two-year project, and don't hold me to that, but getting easements is going to be some trouble. Like I said, we have to have it spent by the end of 26 unless they change that. I think people with material delays and inflation costs that everybody's going to be dealing with, the federal government may change their requirements on when that's done. But right now, everybody's shooting for the end of 26.
Right. That's my concern is, you know, we have to have the money spent by a certain amount of time. And if we're reappropriating it year after year because nothing has been spent on the project, I just wanted to ask about that.
I think it could be done. There's still some engineering that has to be done. There's some easements. There is eminent domain. Nobody wants to do that. You know, we do everything in our power to stay away from that. And so, you know, that leaves easements taking months, years. I've worked on one easement for 4 years. But we don't think that's the case here. This plant could be good for that area out there.
Has there been any type of community outreach or public engagement opportunities to solicit feedback from potential future customers here?
No, sir. Not that I know of. They have about 400 customers, and right now that's all we're talking about. Those customers. That pump station will be in a spot where it could potentially have additional customers come in at a later day.
Mr. Justice Pierce, and I think though, to that issue, that is an advisory board of the county, and so those meetings are public notice, and I believe the public does have the ability to attend those meetings and participate in those discussions, because that serves as a, I think, excuse me if I said advisory, that's an administrative board within the county that's set by this quorum court years ago.
Where is public notice given for those meetings?
On the county's website, the Faulkner County Public Facilities Board, which I serve on as well, is it started that project a long time ago, the Preston area. I wasn't on the board at that time. And then when that project became a standalone project, a new board was formed, and that's the Lake Conway Wastewater Utility Board, and they are a board of the county, I guess appointed by the judge's office through the years. They have rotating members. But they're basically a stand-beside board to the Public Facilities Board. We actually have a Public Facilities Board member on the Lake Conway. Jason Plunkow was on both boards. He's actually not a customer out there. He's just a board.
Thank you.
Judge Gustafson.
Yes, just so.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring everybody's attention. There are some that are new on the court that may not have been chasing this ARP funding stuff the last 2 years like we have. But part of these funds are encumbered. And looking at Mr. Anderson's report, it looks like we got about $2.25 million unappropriated that has to be spent in accordance with the final rule. There's encumbrances. This is a project that satisfies everything outlined in the plan. I'll be voting for this ordinance. I think investment in infrastructure is going to increase property values. It's going to be long-term good for the county. The county will make tax money off this in the long run. It'll help the residents and increase property values. So I like this. I do want to make sure and clarify, if it's okay, Mr. Anderson, this will bring us down to about $1.4 million in the unencumbered or the encumbered funds. If we take the entire $10 million as the lost revenue, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the clarifications. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, sir. If I could just ask, just my understanding, to understand you that the bylaw for Conway Corp is to have your board of directors and city council approve anything outside the city you want to service? Did I understand that?
Yeah, city ordinance requires the city council to have to vote on sewer going outside the city. We can serve water and broadband outside the city limits by ordinance, but electricity we can't serve outside the city by state law. Sewer has to be by approval of the council.
Any idea when the city council is going to discuss this?
Well, if this funding takes place, then the next thing would be for us to finalize a rate, take that back to our board. We indicated to our board today that we hope to bring them a recommendation in March. And if that happens in March, then we will look for the first available city council meeting after that to take it to the city council, and then once the council approves it, then we're all off to the races, I guess.
Thank you.
Or the slow races.
Thank you for the questions. Any further questions?
Judge Dawson, I've got a question for you.
Justice Snow?
I know this is not really new, because Justice Strain brought this up, I think even like November of last year, when it started filtering through your infrastructure and some discussions about it. But how many more projects do we have? And I would consider this almost an environmental impact project for Lake Conway. How many other projects out there, it may not be water or sewer, that the court doesn't need to know about yet that needs our attention? I mean, I know we've got some major ones. We've got a jail to look at. We've got a 911 PSAP that has to be upgraded. We also have an animal shelter that we've been working on for years and years and years that really needs our attention. So what else is out there that, while we may consider this tonight, we really need to focus on?
Sure, no, that's a good question, and I appreciate it because it helps keep everyone on our court and the public on the same page. And these things, you know, these things are hard to understand. You hear this language that you're not familiar with, certainly when you're talking about infrastructure like sewer systems and ARP, and whether or not you can use it to pay off debt. And our understanding is that you cannot, although we're continuing to do some vetting of that. But there are, I want to say about eight. I think Mr. Anderson's probably got a list. He can count them for outstanding and anticipated requests for which the request is impending. I want to say about eight. There were, I want to say there were about 2.4 million in requests or anticipated requests.
Judge, I've got a detailed list here on my phone.
Okay.
If you want me to review.
Yeah,
that.
Go right ahead.
Guy Water has a project, 528,000. Our volunteer firefighters have a request of 600,000. And these all fall under this kind of same encumbered that what would newly be a $1.4 million amount. Faulkner County Council on Aging has 413,000. Maybe, I think, a Damascus Water for 1.7 million. And then Saltillo Fire Department for 101,000.
So, thank you for this. That the
yes,
entire
sir.
List of known outstanding slash anticipated. The reason I say anticipated, there are a couple of them that have already approached us. They just have not put the application before the committee yet. There is one.
One more came
county,
in.
County Administrator Higgins says there's one more. And which one is that one?
That's the Saddle Club that we met with
right.
today. We'll be presenting.
Okay, and so that'll be a new one. It's a smaller request. Saddle Club is the arena that's located adjacent to I-40 over by the Don Owen complex, and it's undergone some, I think, some vandalism, and they need some, they requested, I want to say on the order, they're going to request somewhere around $100,000 for wiring to make it safe to use the wiring there. So, but anyway, we don't have that request in yet to refer to committee. But there, I believe before I saw the Damascus request and the Saddle Club request, I believe it was 2.4 million, give or take, in requests for the 2.2 remaining million in encumbered funds. So, great question.
Maybe another statement here is, as we've been looking at this for 2 years, we kind of traverse the road, and we look at wants and the needs, critical needs, and we're almost to the point where we really have to triage this like the Sheriff's Department does for violent and nonviolent offenders. There's a lot of requests, and our infrastructure is crumbling throughout America. In my district alone, we have major requests from Guy, from Damascus. I've told Bologna Water no for a water extension upgrade down Garland Springs Road in Mount Vernon. They need that to be able to fill a tank faster. Tanks get old. They have to be relined. They have to be cleaned. That's not something that this court can pay for everything, but we can help in certain areas. So I know Justice Strain wants to bring to light all the issues that are in the county, and I think this is a good time to do that. But I would caution us to not spend all of our money in one stop, because we have items that we have in our budget that need addressed as well. So thank you very much.
Great insight. Again, keeping everybody on the same page, having the appropriate perspective. You know, this is generational funding, and once it's gone, it's gone. So I appreciate, you know, we've gone, for those in the audience, this is a lot of what you've seen tonight is generally committee-type work. We don't generally vet in so much detail before the court. But I think it's been worthwhile for these instances. We'll generally steer those types of heavy lifting, down in the weeds type detail to committee. But very fruitful discussion today. I'll just close the discussion if there are no further questions on this topic. Thank you, Mr. Dell. There he is in the back. So thank you, and Mr. Carroll, thank you guys for being here. But I'll close that request with a comment and say, you heard Justice Knight. Pardon?
Call the vote. Call the question.
Okay. The question has been called. Secretariat?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Grady?
Yes.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes. All right, ordinance passes. Thank you very much. Moving to tab 7, proposed resolution 23-02. I believe this is courts and public safety.
Yes, sir. Judge, I ask that we bring this resolution, proposed resolution 2302, before the court for a vote.
Second. Motion to second, counsel.
Proposed resolution 23-02, just coach by title only or the entire thing?
Title only, please.
Be it resolved by the Coroner Court of Fulton County, Arkansas, a resolution entitled a resolution authorizing the County Judge of Fulton County and the Office of Emergency Management Director of Fulton County to enter into an agreement of understanding with the counties of Cleburne, Conway, Lono, Perry, Pulaski, Van Buren, and White.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions? I'll be glad to field those myself. And I know we have our OEM Director, Sheila Moix, is also present, Chief Deputy also with her. Thank you, Jimmy. Mutual aid is something this county has been fortunate to take advantage of in a number of needful cases, not the least of which was the 2014 countywide tornado, and we're very appreciative of that. So these sorts of agreements between counties and jurisdictions are fundamental to the way government in America responds to disaster. So thank you. Sheila, anything to add? All right. Any questions on this? All right, roll call vote.
Roll call
the
roll?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Resolution passes. Moving along. Okay, you'll see on the agenda we've got a couple of appointments to make. I have appointed Mayor Danny Hester to the Public Facilities Board, but it requires your confirmation, and I need that tonight if you would be so kind. If that would be your pleasure, I'll entertain a motion by voice vote.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Second. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you for that confirmation. And similarly, to our library board, a reappointment of Virginia Suzanne Wagoner to our library board. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion to accept her.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. Madam Secretary, would you go ahead and call the roll, please?
Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
No.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
No.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
No.
Strain.
No.
Tyler.
No.
Okay, that resolution.
Five no's.
What was the count?
Five no's.
It's a majority confirmation. There's enough to confirm.
Okay, so confirmation carries. Thank you for that. Any announcements? I have a few. If you give me a moment.
Judge, I'll make a quick one while we give you a moment, if that's all right.
Thank you.
I invited our Troop 78 here tonight that opened the meeting for us. Troop 78 this month marks 80 years that we've been a chartered troop with either St. Joseph's Church or the Knights of Columbus. But we've been chartered with the Knights of Columbus or St. Joseph's for the past 80 years. So that's why I wanted to use this special occasion to call that out for them.
Congratulations. How about a round of applause? So many of us here have been touched by the Boy Scouts and the entire Scout organization, Eagle Scouts, Cub Scouts, and I was a Cub Scout. And so the fond memories and the skills and the social skills, and just appreciate that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention and convey our thanks for them being willing to come up here. I know that it's probably a little bit intimidating, but we see what that organization has done to give them the confidence to do that. We're proud of them, and if you would share that with them, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. I have an announcement. I mentioned earlier I wanted to recognize our road department for the ice storm. I also wanted to recognize them for the flood response that we had. We're still repairing some roads. 6 inches of rain in a matter of a couple of hours. It was taxing on any drainage system, and it was ours. So thank you, Mr. Ledbetter, to convey that to the road administration. I was not here, and I was in Washington, D.C. with several other leaders, couple of whom are also here tonight from our community, and we do that annually here. Our Chamber of Commerce, Conway Area Chamber of Commerce, organizes that trip. We go visit with our congressional delegate. That would be Senators Cotton Bozeman and Congressman Hill. And I had one thing on my mind, and I guarantee you two people in that back pew could relay, probably tell my story on that as well as I can by now, because they had to hear it so many times. But front and center on my mind was our river levee from Toadsuck to Lolly. It's a long levee. It is in relatively good condition compared to some other levees across the state of Arkansas. It's my contention, though. Anybody in this area in 2019 didn't really care how any other levee, what kind of condition any of the other levees were in. And so we are... We have a levee improvement initiative, and I was thrilled that Senators Bozeman, Cotton, and Congressman Hill heard our concerns, and they are eager to help us move forward first with the study, the impetus for that study, the funding for the study, and then any construction that study reveals we need to undertake. And I'm not sure what that is, but there are civil engineers who can tell us how we cannot be as at risk in the future as we were in 2019. The levee, of course, failed on the way down after the crest of water. Perhaps by divine providence, it did not fail before the crest had reached us. So we have so much at risk in that area. We have the airport. We've got the Conway Corp Sewer Treatment Plant, which is the major treatment plant in this area, certainly in the county. We cannot afford to have that system go down for any one of a number of reasons which are obvious. So when you look at the Tucker Creek watershed, the Tupelo Bayou, that entire watershed, we can't afford to do that, and I've made it my personal mission to make sure that that is looked at. My entire time in office, I will be pursuing that. I give you my word on that. If the engineers say you need to replace this piece of the levee or that piece of the levee because the material is substandard, or if you need to raise it 2 feet, widen it 10 feet, put a secondary higher levee, add a pumping station, 150-foot setoff from any fixture, any growth other than grass, whatever the engineers say, if they want to look at a mold problem with that levee, such as exists on many levees in Arkansas. I'm giving you some of the thoughts that just I have, having grown up on and around a farm. I can tell you, it's a serious matter. And I will say that levees are an arms race. Your levee is only as good as it is until the other levees above stream are higher than your levee, and you learn about that arms race. So I am really thrilled with Senator Bozeman, who's been on the Transportation Committee of the Senate for 22 years, I think. He's been the ranking member more than once. He's on the Waterways Commission. That may be very boring detail to a lot of folks, but I can tell you it means a lot to us in Falker County right now. So I'm thrilled that Senators Bozeman and Cotton, Congressman Hill, were so receptive to that idea, but I think the idea's importance really is there for all to see. So I want to thank them publicly, and I look forward to working with them and their staffs to push forward with a study. I know that we have their backing to do that. So we'll work through the hurdles and difficulties with that. It's a big multi-year project. I just look forward to being able to get a study commissioned And hopefully we'll clear all the hurdles necessary to make that happen. And so periodically, certainly the infrastructure committee will be kept abreast of that as soon as I find information. Any tidbits of information, I'll share that with the chair, certainly at the infrastructure committees, and then the full court as that warrants. So I want to thank you for your patience on that, but that's a humongous project that will have impact well beyond all the lives of everyone in this room. It's very important. So I want to thank you for allowing me to give you that announcement. I've got a couple more. This is the sesquicentennial year for Faulkner County. And I want to put that on your radar. April 12th of this year, Faulkner County will celebrate its 150th year of existence. So we are calling that Faulkner 150. We'll be looking to partner with several folks around here, be that private industry and certainly our cities and governmental entities of all kinds. I'll be forming a committee, and you'll see word on that in short order. We've already got Ms. Lanita, our museum director. You know how up on the wheel she is. She's already got the time capsule here. The Chamber of Commerce has agreed to certainly join in with us. They said go ahead and buy that. We haven't worked the details out on that yet, but I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce. There will be others involved. I hope you will help me in spreading that word. There will be several opportunities. The activities will be several days long. Culminating April 12th right here in front of the courthouse. We'll have burgers and hot dogs. We'll have presentations and speeches. So thank you for that. I know you join me in loving this place and the remarkable 150-year history of this county. We just hope to do it justice. Okay. And then lastly, I draw your attention to the pictures on the walls here beside you, on either side of you, our museum, Lanita. Our Lanita Ware is our director, and she provided the documents, really both of them. The one on the north wall here to your left has actually been here in the courthouse for a while. That's a picture of the, I believe that's the second courthouse. We've had three here. One burned, the second one was replaced. I think they just outgrew it, and the wood got old, so... now we're in the third courthouse, and then you'll see some explanations for the documents that formed Faulkner County to your right. And you will see, we won't always draw your attention to those documents, but you'll see historical images and documents rotate through as we have monthly meetings. And so I hope you find those to be as interesting as I do. Any further announcements?
Judge?
Yes.
I just got a text from my wife, and UCA baseball just beat Vanderbilt, the number 10 team in the country.
Go Bears. Go Bears. I know President Davis is beside himself. I tell you how happy we are for that. That is unbelievable. My wife, Lori, and I follow SEC baseball. We're huge Razorback baseball fans, and we're not huge Vanderbilt fans, no disrespect to anybody who follows them, but for UCA to beat them is enormous in their athletic history. That'll go down and won't soon be forgotten. Thank you for that, Justice Kendrick. I still can't believe that. I'm going to go see if I can find that on YouTube or TV anywhere as soon as we leave here tonight. So with that, any further announcements? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Adjourned. Thank you very much.